Hello and welcome to Hello Governor the Podcast. As always, I am Abdullah and my guest today is introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Alice Imura. I'm a voice actress. Would you like me to say what I'm a voice actress for?
Well, I mean, most people probably know you as Robin from Honkai Star Rail, but you're also in
I'm in Fire Emblem. I'm Gulvig and Haether. You might also hear me in Paladins as Solivir Leon and Shield Hero as Sedina and Windia.
Before we get started, like before I say anything, I just want to make this clear. This episode is very spoiler heavy, so if you have not played Honkai, and if you're not up to speed on the version 2.0 story, you're gonna get spoiled. So I'll just, before just a heads up, guys. So please don't get mad at me. I mean, it's on the title, it's on the thumbnail, it's on everything. It's like this is a spoiler-heavy podcast because it's tough to talk about Robin without talking about spoilers.
Exactly, you have been warned.
But before we get to Honkai, how did your journey start? Like, what made you want to get into acting?
Well, technically, I always wanted to act. I just never really pursued it. And then, long story short, the pandemic happened. I wanted to do something I always wanted to. And so I started out doing voiceover work, primarily on Casting Call Club. And I got my first gig on there. And then it just kept going like a snowball, man.
And what was your first professional credited voiceover gig?
Like paid credited or because I did some webtoon type stuff where the webtoon artist allowed us to make the comic dub, but it's not like an anime or anything like that.
First professional gig, I would say, like something
First,
that's well known, I guess. That's an IP or whatever.
I my first video game that was released on like PS4, the Switch. That was I forgot the name already. Oh no, Ikai, there we go. It's not Honkai, it's Ikai. But I would have to say like the first like big title would be Fire Emblem Heroes. That was the next thing that came out.
And were you familiar with that series going into Fire Emblem, or was this your first introduction to that specific series?
Oh yes, I played Fire Emblem before, and I actually like as soon as Fire Emblem Heroes dropped in 2017, I downloaded it. So getting to voice in it was crazy to me.
That's good because, I feel like if you're someone who gets cast in like a big project that's existed before you were even around. I feel like it's good to be aware of like the lore and the world and not go into it blind, because especially if it's something with like a massive fan base, because they can get picky about that sort of
Oh
stuff.
yes. I mean when I got hired for Fire Emblem, this was I think directly after I did Ikai and I got an email and I didn't know this was for Fire Emblem. I thought it was just for an indie game and then I learned about it when I went to my session. They were like, "Oh, so are you familiar with Fire Emblem?" So, that's how I learned I was going to be in it.
And what was it like seeing your character for the first time in that game?
Oh, surreal. She dropped a little, so she actually didn't really she wasn't playable yet for a long time. But to hear like in the games and especially later on was insane. And I have her too. I have her on my phone. I have both of them actually.
So that's pretty cool. Like, just being cast in something as big as that, and already an existing character that was already there, but just wasn't playable. So I think must have been a pretty cool experience when she was finally announced, and you got all those notifications, and you're like, "Yep, I'm playable."
Yep, it's time. She's out. Go pull for her.
And does it feel weird, like listening to yourself, or are you used to it?
Oh, 100%. I don't think I'm ever gonna get used to hearing my own voice, especially because my talking voice is different from the voice that I gave them. So I'm like, it's so different hearing it.
So there's never that point where you're just like, oh, you know, I can like separate myself from the character. It's always like, yeah, I'm too hypercritical.
Yeah, I'm way too hypercritical. I'm like, oh, I should have said this differently. Oh, I don't like how I said this one exact syllable. Too picky.
Like you just listen to something and you're just like, okay, I need to get in touch with the casting people. And it's like, can I do this again, please?
Exactly. Like, hey, I have some notes for myself.
But it's already out, Alice. We can't re-record it, but you can, right?
Exactly. But you can, right? Please.
Very rarely when I ask people this question where they're like, you know, do you watch or play any of the stuff you're in? People basically say no because they're just too hypercritical. Like very rarely do I get voice actors who are like, yeah, I watch my own stuff or I play the stuff I'm in. It doesn't bother me, you know. Like voice actors
Yeah.
are just like very hypercritical of their performances, I've noticed.
It helps when like you're not the only one in a scene, because then you can just distract yourself with the other actors. You're like, okay, I don't exist in this. No.
But then when you're a playable character and you're listening to yourself do all the
Ugh.
battle lines, you're just like, oh, I don't like this.
I mean, okay, I will admit the repetitive battle lines, they do like I become desensitized to them, and at certain times I'm just like saying it along with them at that point because I know it's coming up.
Well, I mean, it's a gacha game, and when you're doing, if it's like a gacha game, you're gonna hear the same, what do you call it, the same lines over and over again,
Yep.
and, well, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it, guys. Don't. We'll get to Honkai. Don't worry. But I just want to say that it is kind of interesting listening to battle lines because. First time it's cool. First time it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then, you know, when you're grinding and you're listening to it over and over again, you're just like, oh man, I
Like,
can't
okay, I
stand
get
listening
it.
to you. I can't stand listening to this anymore. Please just, you already said that. Shut up.
You've said this like 10 times. Please give me new material.
And you also did a couple of anime projects. I'm just wondering, like, how did you take to dubbing? Was it easy or was it hard?
Dubbing is pretty hard, I will admit. It depends on the studio, what they have for options. Some studios will have like the little beeps, which I personally love because it really helps me be like, okay, I'll breathe during that. It can be some difficult because we aren't working with our own like lips, so to speak. We have to match it up. I would say Cutie Honey was incredibly fun to do because their lip flaps don't match even like the Japanese version, because it's that's just the stylistic approach that they did. So it was fun. I could kind of let go of it a little bit.
And when you're dubbing, do you look at the screen first or do you look at the script?
So it depends on the studio. Some have their different ways. Mostly for most of the anime that I do is I have the script as well as the a video I have to sync it to. So I'm doing both at the same time. I'm looking at like back and forth. If it's a really easy line, sometimes I can just look at the picture and just remember what the line's supposed to be. But it really it's a it's surprisingly a really hard skill.
Yeah, because you know you have to make sure that you match the lip flaps, but also you have to make sure your performance is believable. Because I've had people say like, man, there's nothing more frustrating than giving like a really great take that you're proud of, and then having the director tell you, ah, oh, we got to take that again because it's too short.
Yes. Like, that was really great. Can you do that like 0.5 speed? And you're like, okay, sure. And then it's never the same.
And out of all the characters you've played, which one would you say was the toughest?
The toughest. Oh. I don't know. I think they were all equally challenging in their own way. I know I just said Cutie Honey was like the least stressful, but like, it's just There's a lot that goes into it. There's the character voice that you're bringing to it that can really up the difficulty. So like Goldclaw's voice is really, really low and like really, really gravelly. So that I cannot withstand for a prolonged period of time. So in that regard, it's hard. Or even have Windia, who's really, really high. And you have to do all of what we just mentioned. So they're all challenging in their own way, I would say.
Yeah, because you have to take into consideration that, they're all going to be different, and if you're going to be cast as doing something like a gravelly voice, especially for like a 4-hour session, you have to maintain that voice for that session. So, health, what do you call it? Vocal health is rare, very important. I'm a very like I tell people like all the time. It's like if you're going to take If you're gonna take up a challenging role like that, make sure you're prepared ahead of time, and don't overdo it, because no role is worth killing yourself over.
Correct. Yes, please vocal health. When I was doing all those different kind of voices, we only, and especially like the high demanding ones, we only do it for like about 2 hours because we don't want to really put strain on the voice. Even just speaking normally for that long can be a lot. So we always have these types of limits that we always set each other to. We always have water. We always I got a vocal mister so that way I'm like always hydrated no matter what.
So, let's get right to it. How did you get involved in Honkai?
Hunkai, I was sent an audition. I auditioned and I got it.
Yes, the go-to answer. It was an audition. I auditioned for it, and I got it.
Yes, it's the true version. I mean, yeah, I was sent an audition. I don't have an agent, so I don't remember who even emailed me, but someone emailed me with the audition. I auditioned. We went through the process, and I got the role. And it wasn't for a while that we didn't start recording, but we did. And it's just honestly been a blast this entire time between recording and then playing the game and then having everybody else, like the other voice actors, also play alongside you. It's a lot of fun.
So it was just like one of those things where, one day you woke up and you got an email saying, "Hey, we need to, this is the audition. Can you look into it?" And you're like, "Oh, sure, I'll audition for this."
Yeah, my rule of thumb is if it suits me, like the character, I'll audition. And that's worked so far. Don't just throw it out. Always audition. Even if you think it's gonna be bad, I will admit I didn't think I would get Robin. I thought I was gonna get a different character. I thought I was gonna get Acorn. Acorn? Acorn. I thought I was gonna get her. Or at least like I was more confident in that take. And then I got Robin, which was a pleasant surprise.
That's weird that you would and that you auditioned for Ekron. I don't know how to pronounce her name as well. So yeah. So
It's
yeah.
Acheron, Acheron Acorn.
Like I'm just trying so hard not to call her Raiden, because it's like
Yeah.
that's who you are. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm super bad with pronouncing names regardless. So Acorn it is.
But it is interesting that you auditioned for that, because she's the type. She's like a very stoic, no nonsense. I don't want to say dark and brooding, because that's not who she is. She's a very serious character with a troubled past. So I don't. And you're very like, I don't see it. I don't like it's just a different dichotomy between like that character and you as a person. It's
That's
weird.
funny because people were saying that with Rob, and they're like, oh my God, you are not Robin.
Well, I mean, Robin is manipulative in a creative way, like very
She
very.
manipulates you, but you're happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes Sunday and Robin such interesting characters, because they're not like cartoonishly evil. They're not like mustache twirling villains. They're, very anime-esque villains, where they're just like, yeah, everything about them is kind of creepy. You're just like, the moment they step on screen and you hear Robin for the first time and her voice sounds like way off, it's like, oh, what's going on here?
I will admit, everybody messaged me and they're like, "What's wrong with your mic? How did they allow that?" And I was like, "It's part of the game, I guess."
Because that's, you know, and here we're getting into spoilers here, but if you have not played the game, that's a dead giveaway, because that's not Robin. It's Sparkle, and you know, that's why that's why she sounds off. So it's like
Yeah, my friends were like, "Oh my God, Alice got in Honkai. Alice's voice is manipulated for the plot."
So yeah, and you don't even get to meet Robin until the end of the story, and she's just basically just a corpse in a bathtub.
She's
So
just sleeping, guys, totally.
was like just that just felt shocking to me. Where the first time I saw it, I'm like, man, this is like getting really dark, even for Honkai. Because like when you fight the meme for the first time, it's very played a very like a almost like a horror movie. And then, you know, Firefly gets stabbed, and it's kind of like, man, they're just really pushing the limit of what they can do with this
It is
game.
such a wholesome story.
I knew, like, going into this, especially when we looked at the first trailers for Pentacomi, it's like, yeah, this is gonna take a turn into horror, because like there's no way that they're not gonna do the whole horror thing where, you know, because it's like. Because lore-wise, Pentacomi used to be a prison planet, and it's like, oh, okay, so, you know, it's still a prison. You know, they're still keeping people prisoners in dreams, so there you go. You know, it's
But
not.
now you have, a smile on your face the entire time.
And that's the kind of horror I like. It's very psychological horror, and you know, playing through the story, it is kind of interesting, because you're like, oh, who can I trust? You know. Because everyone has their own intentions and motives going into this story. And what I like about it is legitimately one of those. It's different because it doesn't like give you the bad guy straight away, and you're like, oh, it's clearly the bad guy who's manipulating everybody. It's here are the main players, and it's up to you to decide who's telling the truth or not. And I like that.
Exactly. Yeah, Pentacone is definitely not like a cookie cutter where you go in and you're like, "Oh, this is the villain we have to defeat. All these people, they're going to give me their story." No, it's like, "Oh, this is a puzzle in and of itself. Oh no, I'm in danger."
Especially during the Traveler's first interaction with Robin and Sunday in the dreamscape, it is like, it's very weird, and it plays, and it's just like very creepily, and it's like, oh man, I hope that this is like, you know, I hope there I hope the travel I hope the not the Traveler, the Trailblazer, sorry, I'm thinking of that other game.
Wrong
Sorry.
tea.
Yeah. You know, their first introduction with Sunday and Robin in the dreamscape is one of my favorite scenes, because again, they're playing to the horror thing, where it's like you know something is wrong, because it's like, wait a minute, these people are way too nice to a stranger they just met. You know, it's like,
Yeah,
what's going on here?
it really tries to drive home, like, "Oh yeah, you're safe, but something's off. Something's not quite right."
Yeah, and it's interesting. And if I had any complaints about it, is like I felt like the Firefly section was just too much like an extended tutorial, where it's like, here's what you can do in Pentacomi, here's all the mini games, here's all the new enemy types, and here's all the puzzles. And it's like, but I want to see where the story's going. I'm just like, I get it, you know. I get it. It's like, it's all puzzles. I mean, Pentacomi is basically the Inazuma of Honkai, where it's all puzzles. It's like, you want to get to this specific place, gotta solve a puzzle. Okay.
Ne another one, another one.
God, it's I'll admit it, like I did get frustrated during the Firefly section, because it's like, okay, is this going anywhere? You've been leading me around for like half an hour now, you know, it's like, is this gonna go anywhere?
I will admit, yeah, it felt like it should have had like some kind of mini story also built in there, like a side quest, so that way you have almost like a little chance to breathe before you go through it all. Because you're right, it does like it's like a long marathon to get to that end.
And what I love about it is that Sam's introduction is also pretty cool, where you're just like, okay, we know this guy's like a big deal, and then when he shows up, it's like, oh man, this dude's not screwing around.
No, Love Sam.
What I love about Honkai in general is that they will introduce characters ahead of time in with the animatics that they put out, and because I know Sam was introduced in like one of the shorts that they put out, and it's like, man, this guy looks really cool. And but then again, it becomes that whole problem where it's like, well, but if this guy was around this entire time, why didn't they use him? You're like, what was he doing during like the previous section?
Yeah, I think kind of going back to what we were saying, where Penacony is like you're trying to figure it out as you go. I think they're really trying to organically introduce each character into the story and making them available when they need to be. To really kind of leave you in the dark as well. Like you're still guessing, like, oh man.
Also, what I love is that, if you have Topaz, and one of her lines is like, I hope you don't run into Adventurine at some point, because he's like, he's very dark and mysterious. And even like during the end of her story quest, when we hear him for the first time, you realize like, oh man, this dude is like, I mean, you thought Topaz was terrible. This dude is like
You haven't even seen Aventurine.
this dude. I'm trying to keep things like PG here, but like he gave a bunch of creeper vibes. Like it's tough to not think of like very much creeper vibes. And I'm just like, I just every time he was on screen, I'm just like, is there an option to smash his head in? Like, because I really hate this guy.
I pointed out on a because I was playing on my Twitch channel, Penacony. I pointed out to everybody, I was like, he just sounds disingenuous even when he's telling the truth about something. He sounds like the one character from Adventure Time, Magic Man. Like he just always sounds like he's never telling the truth or he's like making fun of you the entire time.
Because he's just one of those characters where you're just like, okay, is he telling the truth or is he just like feeding you lies to manipulate you? Because again, you get that scene with him and Sparkle, and Sparkle is just like the Joker. Like she doesn't care. Like she'll just like screw with everybody. She's like,
Yes.
chaos is fun
Why
to
so
her. It's like,
serious?
yeah. And when you have like a character like Sparkle. When Sparkle's telling this guy, yeah, I'm not gonna mess with your shit, buddy. It's like, it's getting serious when
Yeah,
Sparkle's
when
like,
Sparkle
yeah.
steps away, you know something's wrong.
She's like, look, I did what you asked. I like, you know, told the tr I told the tra the Trailblazer like there's much more to going on to than they know. Can I go home now, please?
Yeah. And by home, I mean, can I just mess with everybody else that's here?
That was a fun side quest. That was
Definitely.
one of my favorite companion quests, because it's like it's just Sparkle messing with Black Swan and
Yes.
Sampo.
Literally just messing with them.
Also, and again, it's always nice to see Sampo again, because I know that he was a huge fan favorite character, and I wasn't surprised. I was surprised that they brought him back. It's like, yeah, it's pretty cool that they brought him back.
Yeah, they're all tying everything together nicely.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of world building going on in Penacomy, and I love it. Because it's just like, oh, okay, we've introduced like the. When I look at it, it's like, well, what do you call it? The Bellabog was the starter arc. And the what do you call it? LaFu was the middle arc, and Penacomy is like when we get really serious with the lore,
Yeah,
like.
Penacony's like, oh no, wait, oh no, the plot's coming to haunt me.
But I mean, it is interesting, like just seeing them do something different, especially after like I know because a lot of people weren't happy with the LaFu story. Line, I get it. It wasn't the best, it wasn't the greatest, especially. And I said this before, I think Plantilia was just a weak villain. It's like, oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
but I think here it's much more interesting because like keeps me guessing, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm interested to see where they're going with this, and this is like the first time I've said this about a miHoYo game, where it's like I'm interested to see where the plot is going, because that never happens. Because with miHoYo games, I'm like, you know what? I don't care about the plot. I just want to get the best characters and grind.
Yeah, they definitely, I feel like, went above and beyond. And in my opinion, I feel like they had fun making everything from the designs to the storyline to the characters. I feel like they really, really enjoyed making Pinacony.
Did you start playing not Genshin, sorry. Again, I'm thinking about the
Yay.
other game. Sorry, I get confused. Did you start playing Honkai when you got cast, or were you always playing it before you got cast?
I started playing it last year, technically, and I had just missed Topaz's banner. Just missed it. I was so upset. And then I don't remember if I was cast before or after that. I do not remember.
So, you had a good idea of what the story was and who these characters were before going in. That's pretty cool. So it wasn't a case of like, okay, what is this for? Oh, okay. What's Honkai?
I will say, I think I only finished, I must have started streaming in like November or December, because in January is when I finished Bellabog. And then February, I sped through all the way to Penacony. Like, I have so many of the extra missions I have not done because I wanted to get to Penacony.
Oh, you're just me. Like you just did what I did with Genshin recently, where when they did Fontaine, I'm just like, okay, I'm just speed through it. I'm just speed through it. I'm just gonna speed through everything to get to Fontaine and just like finish Fontaine, because I can't balance out Genshin and Honkai all
Yes,
together.
it
Because
is
I'm just like.
so much content. Like, props to them, but it really is so much content.
Because the moment Fontaine came out and a lot of people were ahead of me, I'm just like, okay, screw it. I'm just gonna go through just speed run through this thing.
Yeah, I started playing again and then dropped out. I think I left myself in the desert part of Sumeru. Like right before that storyline, so I don't even have Fontaine unlocked. I voiced a couple NPCs for an event in Fontaine, and I missed out on it because I just was so behind. I just knew I wasn't gonna catch up.
I mean, as long as you're not one of those people who just recently started playing, I feel like you should be good, because I feel like Genshin is at that point where it's no longer new player friendly. Like, I can't imagine anybody getting into Genshin now, because it's like, oh my God, like look at all the content, first of all, and second of all, trying to get like the best characters on like a starter account now, it's like, ah, oh, good luck with that.
Yeah, I feel like you would only really, as a new player, start Genshin if, like, you know you're gonna have like over 100 hours to spend on this for a while.
And that's why, like I said, like when Honkai comes out on PlayStation, I'm just gonna play it on day one and just like get through it as quickly as possible, because I don't want to make the same mistake I made with Genshin, where I played it for a little bit and then dropped it for a couple of years and then came back to it and then had to play catch up. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that again, because I missed out on so many good characters and what have you. So it's like I'm just gonna start from the beginning and like get as many of the good characters in now. So early level power creep, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I knew I had to start playing Honkai at least before the anniversary because I was like, if I don't, I will never catch up. Like, it'll be over for me.
And it's tough, like trying to balance out these types of games, because like there's just so much story, so much content, so much like stuff that you have to keep going back to. I still have like tons of events on in Penacome that I just did not bother with, because I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna bother with this. I just want to build up all the characters that I got recently, and that's already like a it's already a pain in itself, because like once you reach Trailblaze level 60. Oh boy, this game becomes unforgiving.
Oof. I think I'm at like 37.
Oh, you're still good. You can still like level up your
Yeah.
characters and have fun with it. Once you get to 60, oh
I'm
boy, it
just a
becomes
baby right now. Yeah.
Like once you get to 60, that's when the real grind starts, and then you're just like looking at your resources, being like, shit, I don't have enough to level up
I
this
don't have
character.
anything. Yeah.
And it sucks because I have all the really good characters. I have like Black Swan, Kafka, Rama Mae, you know, it's like all the good ones. And it's like, I gotta devote time to building all these lovely characters up because I want a really good team to just like
Yeah.
power through everything.
Yeah, I get that. It's a task.
And I think like it's important to like get a lot of good characters early so you can level them up early. Because like I said,
Yes.
once you reach like level 60, you know, Trailblaze level 60, it becomes a nightmare. Like, holy crap. Like because I just got to level 60 recently, and I just noticed like the grind became just unbearable. It's like, oh God. You know, getting one character to level 80 was just a nightmare. It's like, how much resources did I waste on this? Oh God.
Oh no, yeah. Woof.
And I was just leveling up Huhua, and she's like, again, she was just like, because again, I need like, I'm one of those people who's like, you know, once I get to what do you call it, like a high enough Trailblaze level, I'm just one of those people who's like, okay, I gotta level up all my support units first, and then all the attack units, because if I don't have a good support a team, I'm pretty much screwed, because.
Yeah, I don't even have that many characters to even worry about that. Like I feel like the most I have are 4 stars. I only have like a couple 5 stars, enough to fill a team at the very least. But I kind of have just been using the same team just because I don't have the resources to like help any of the other ones that I just got, even the 4 stars. Like I think my team right now is Bailu and Blade, Jeppard, and then I've been switching between Dr. Raishio and Himeko. That's who's been on my team.
That's not a bad team, but I mean but you're like missing out on a lot of good units, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saving up for Acorn. I'm gonna pull, I swear.
Oh, I hate what they did. I hate like okay, MiHoYo, we need to talk. Like you're announcing Acorn. It's like, okay, that's a character everyone wants. She's pretty cool. But then who do you rerun with her? Freaking, what do you call it? Lacha? Why do you do this to me? Why do you do this to me?
They make it so hard.
Because I've been like, man, I've been waiting for a Lacha rerun since last year, because like I said, I did not play Honkai until it came out on PlayStation, and we missed and our us PlayStation plebs missed out on
Yeah.
Lacha's release. So it's like, and you kind of need him because he's the best healer in the game. So it's like,
Whoops. Yeah,
because he's the best healer in the game, so that's why I've been using a lot of Huhu, because she's basically just like low rent Lacha, basically.
I've been using Bailu. I pulled for Black Swan and got Bailu. I lost the 50-50 and I got Bailu.
Oh, Black Swan was a pain in the ass trying to get, but I got her, and I love the Kafka Black Swan combo. It's amazing. I love it.
I wanted Black Swan so badly, but now I think I have a guaranteed pity for Acorn, so I'm definitely pulling for her.
But then you have to like save up because Robin's gonna be playable, and that's gonna like take up everything when she comes on.
I think I literally told my stream last night. I was like, listen, guys, no lie, if Topaz comes out before Robin, sorry, but I'm pulling.
Because Topaz is oh yeah, Topaz is another really great character, and I was lucky that I got like Scylla and Topaz. You know, I spent money on those two, but I needed them because they're one of the two best characters, two of the best characters in the game. And I feel like I would have like struggled if I had not had them on my teams, you know, if I did not pull for them. So there you go. Like
Yeah.
I've become a whale. Sue me.
Well, that's great.
I mean, it was bound to happen, like, because it's like, come on, man, you know, Sela, again, Sela's great, Topaz is great, like, I love playing Topaz against Kokolia, because she just destroys Kokolia every time. I just love her, just getting 2 turns. I love the fact that Topaz gets 2 turns and just, like, throws Numbi at the enemies. I
I
don't know why
know, the
that's so
throwing Numby is great.
funny.
You have no idea how sad I was that I started playing after her banner ended. I was so mad.
And again, like, it's just tough, because I feel like with Honkai, I don't, and this is going to be a controversial opinion, I know, but I don't think they've released a terrible 5-star character. Like, they've all been good. Like, I'm
Yeah.
struggling to think of a really terrible 5-star character where I'm just like, oh, I hated pulling for this character. Because I'll be honest, like, man, you know, I wasn't so sure about Argenti. But man, he's like the best physical damage dealer in the game. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, I cannot speak from experience. I don't have anybody. I have Blade.
No, but Blade is great. Blade is another great character. Like, he's just like, again, like, comparing, I know it's not fair, but it's like, oh, but you comparing base level Don Hung to Blade is not fair, but basically, you know, they're basically the same character in that they're, you know, they're wind-based attack characters, attack units. But what a difference Blade makes, because, like, he just
Yes.
destroys enemies. Like, his breaker is a lot better than Don Hung's. Yes, you have to, unfortunately, you have to have Bailu on the team with him, otherwise he dies pretty quickly, because it's like, because he sacrifices a lot of health. But if you level him up right, and if you get his light, and if you got his light cone, he just basically destroys everybody. You
And hear
know?
me out, hear me out. Jeppard on your team, just having that shield constantly on him. I've had him like hanging at 1 HP for like 5 turns because of that shield. It just works. It works. Keep him alive. His what he doesn't want at all.
I don't have Jeppard. I just use for the tank. I just use what do you call it? I use Lance Trailblazer, because she has decent shields, and I got Jeppard's light cone. It works on her, so it's like, whatever. You know, this is
Works
like
out.
it's
Yeah,
like.
I didn't think I would like using Jeppard, but I do because he gives everybody a shield. People are more likely to attack him, which means that he's ready to use his ult more, which is more shields. And then even if he dies at least once, he'll come back. He'll regenerate a certain amount of health. So he's like an asset on the team alongside Blade because he basically keeps that man alive.
See, but that's my trade-off, is like, I don't have Jeppard, so I have to, like, use, like, the other shield, the free version,
Yeah, free Jeppard.
But again, like, let me think about this. When was the last time you have ever, like, stuck with the main character in a gacha game? Because usually, like, the main character's like the freebie that they give you, and it's like, oh, you know, this character's okay, but I really want the other ones. But, like, the Trailblazer is a lot of fun. Like, she's a great character. I mean, I
Yeah, I
like
will
the,
say.
I mean, preservation Trailblazer much better than physical Trailblazer, but she's a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah, I will say I noticed that, like, especially compared to other gacha games and even like Genshin Impact, I noticed that people really like using their Trailblazers in Honkai. They actually like using the main characters, which is a pleasant surprise. Oh my God, they work.
Yeah, it's like the system. Again, I don't know if this is a controversial opinion, but I feel like the switching of elements works better in Honkai than it does in Genshin, because I don't. Because the problem with, like, switching elements in Genshin is that there's only one decent traveler, and that's what do you call it? Dendro Traveler. All the other travelers suck, so it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
But with Honkai, you can, like, you know, if you need a substitute, yes, you can argue that, oh, well, Trailblazer is just a substitute for other units, but they're a good substitute, you know. And like I said, you know, if you don't have Jeppard, you can just like get his light cone and just put it on Trailblazer, and you pretty much get the same result. Not as good, obviously, but you get the same result. If you want a shielder,
Yes.
you can just use Trailblazer. I don't understand why, you know, why it has to be like a ride or die thing people have with
Yeah.
it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because the problem is like with gacha games, like when I look up like is this character good or not, you get like a lot of Reddit threads being like, oh well, if you don't have this character at this level with this light cone, you're trash and you shouldn't be playing the game. And it's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. I think they might have taken notes, honestly, from Genshin and when they went into Honkai, like applied said notes. I don't know. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, back to Robin real quick. What was your reaction seeing that scene for the first time with her in the bathtub?
I got it spoiled for me, so I don't know. I kind of knew it was gonna happen. Based off of the plot, seeing it completely the first time, even though it was spoiled to me, I was like, oh no, my baby. And then on stream, it hits different when you're on, like, you're playing it on your own. So I was like, oh no, it's happening for real now.
And then it's like, wait, that's it? That's the ending? Where's the rest of it? Come back in a month.
Yeah, no way, give me more.
Like, why do you gotta leave me hanging? It's like, go grind, go get your level up your characters, and then come back in a month. Because we're
Yeah,
not giving
yeah.
you any more than this.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, thanks. You know. But yeah, I mean, Honkai, I'm interested to see where they're going with it, and you know, like I said, you know, congratulations as well on being a playable character, and you know, you're the first character, you're the first person I've had on who, you know, we're recording this pre-release, so you know, that's awesome, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Because usually I have to wait until the character comes out, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, because again, it's you know. Yeah, that's how I usually do it, but you know, with recent events, it's like I gotta talk about Pinakomi. It's gonna kill me if I don't talk about Pinakomi because
We
I
have to
have
talk about Panettone.
like, so I have opinions, man.
I have a very strongly worded letter ready.
It's like I don't like the Firefly section. I feel like it's just a tutorial. Also, I hate those dinosaurs. Those chef dinosaurs can go screw off. I hate
I
them.
love them. I wish I didn't have to fight them. Why can't we be friends? I love them.
They're annoying. I just hate them because they just like take so much damage. It's like, duh, die already. I'm tired of this like random encounter. It's a random encounter. Why is this hard?
I feel so bad when they go down because they make this pitiful noise. I mean, maybe you're excited about that, but for me, I'm like, no.
But I mean, hey, you can fight what's his name? What's that character from Reboot? Mike the TV from Reboot. You can fight him a billion times
A
now.
billion times. Oh my
When
goodness.
I saw those TV people, I'm like, yep, that's Mike the TV from Reboot. Someone on the design team was a big Reboot fan.
Yeah. I one thing I could not stop talking about while I was playing it is just how well done everything is. I love the aesthetic choices they made for this game. It's Art Deco 1920s, but still futuristic, still Uncanny Valley. I want to live there personally. Like, that is my vibe.
I think when I had Jordan Paul Haro on, he described, who does the voice of Dr. Ratio, he described Pinakomi as like the outer space Disneyland. And I'm like, yeah, I can see
Yes, that's what
that.
they told us. Like, it's basically like Disneyland or something. Yeah, I absolutely love Pinakomi, and it. This is a me thing, but it reminds me of BioShock, which is my favorite game. So I just like am in love with it times 10 now.
Oh, BioShock. That's yeah, I can totally see that. It's like BioShock but without the really terrible politics. Awesome.
Yeah, with that, yeah, it's like what happened with BioShock before BioShock happened,
It's like, so not the terrible politics, where it's like, ugh. No, don't get me started on
Yeah.
BioShock Infinite, where it's like, oh, both sides are really terrible when you think about it. No, not really. What are you
Not,
talking about?
no, not really.
But anyway, no, I really like the aesthetic. And can I just say, as someone who wasn't a fan of the soundtrack, I gotta say, Panakomi soundtrack is the best best part of the best part of the Honkai Star Rail soundtrack. Do not at me. I will not, do not at me. Sexy jazz music.
I think
Sexy jazz
everyone
music.
unanimously is agreeing. Penacony is just like top tier in like all regards. Design, music, plot, characters, they are hitting all the marks this world.
Again, because I'm not really a fan of the random encounters, but once that jazz music hits, it's like, yes, bring on the sexy jazz music, let's
Like, all
go.
right, I'm kind of vibing now. Okay.
Like,
You got me.
because that's an because well that it's weird because growing up in the 90s and listening to a lot of like that type of music growing up and TV shows and what have you and video games, I'm just like, man, I wish we could bring that back. Why don't we have more sexy jazz music?
Bring the sexy jazz music back, 2024.
It's 1995 all over again. It takes me back. Also, I want to say Gallagher drinking soda is not will never not be funny to me. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a little funny. I love me a Gallagher though. I definitely want him.
Kind of surprised these 4 stars, but it's like, well, if he's another healer, so it's like, okay, cool, you know. So if you're gonna be stuck with like the basics, I feel like he'll probably be a decent enough character. Plus, you can pretend. Plus, seeing as he's a bartender, you can pretend he's Moses, like from The Simpsons. So there you go. There you go. So he's basically D-Luke. Okay, I see what you did
That
there.
man is not D-Luke.
Yeah, you're
First
right.
double character. I love him.
I just want to say I'm kind of disappointed because I remember when people were like, when there was a lot of hype around Gallagher because everyone was like, oh, he's gonna be the character who has a beard, and then I look at him and he's like, it's just stubble. I'm like, that's not a beard. Come on.
He shaved it. He can't get that beard hair in the drinks, guys. Come on.
But then you look at his voice actor Eric Brahe, and he has a magnificent beard, and it's like, okay, you are forgiven.
He's
You are forgiven.
compensating for the lack of beard in game.
Who I've had on the show, he's a very lovely man. So there you go. But yeah, I'm excited for more Honkai. You know, we're
Oh,
getting
I'm not.
close to we're getting close to the release, and I'm kind of wondering, like, you know, what are your hopes for the game going forward?
In what regards?
Just in general, like, cause now it's like cause look, I'm gonna be honest with you. This is like the first time I've been invested in a video game in a really long time. Cause like I said, you know, I kind of stopped playing. I kind of needed to take a break from Genshin because I just like grinding for those relics, man, is just not fun. I'm sorry. It's like
Yeah.
that's one of the things I really hate about Genshin. Oh, not relics, artifacts. Sorry, wrong term.
We're
But
getting it mixed up.
like. That's the problem when I have like a Honkai person on here. Every time it's like I always mix it up. I'm like, no, it's not the Traveler. It's the Trailblazer. It's not
It
relics.
doesn't
It's
help they
like
kind of are similar, like traveler, trailblazer, just immediate off the tongue.
it's relics, not it's artifacts, not relics. You know, completely different. But my point is like I had to take a break from Genshin because I was just like tired of the grind. I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of doing these same dungeons over and over again and getting like nothing rewards from it. But with Honkai, I like it a bit more because like I can just like auto play it, and then it's like, okay, you guys grind. I'm just gonna do something else.
Yeah. That's fair, yeah. The autoplay. I honestly don't actually use the autoplay. I like to choose what I'm gonna do. But to answer your question, for what's upcoming now, I just really hope they keep doing what they've been doing. I think I, even as someone that, is in the game, I want to be continually surprised. Continually? I hope that's a word. I want to be surprised at every turn. I want to be mesmerized. My wants in the game are definitely to get Acheron. Big wants. And quite honestly, I just really like playing with other people being there too. So if I can enjoy the story and enjoy it alongside everybody else, that's a good game experience for me.
And have you met any of your other castmates?
Not in person. Last year, though, I have met Sam Slade, who plays Topaz.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Was that for an event or was that just a general get together?
No, I was in the area and we were friends at that point. Like, this was last year, last summer. And she was like, "You want to go to a sushi buffet?" And I was like, "Yes." So we went. That's honestly the only person that I think I've met that's in Honkai right now. Yeah, I hope I can meet everybody else. Everybody is either in New York City or LA, which I'm in neither. So
Where are you located?
I'm in North Carolina right now.
Oh man, North Carolina, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't live near anything. Well, maybe Atlanta, but it's still a big drive. So
Have you considered moving to LA?
I have. It's not quite up to me. I have a partner whose work will basically determine where they go. It's not quite up to me, but our goal collectively is to probably go to LA or at least like that kind of area, because that's a big hub.
Yeah, because I feel like being in North Carolina, that's not, that doesn't help you career-wise because
Doesn't at
nowadays,
all.
because of that, nowadays a lot of, because again, a lot of games, not games, a lot of casting directors are going back to the whole LA local or New
Correct.
York local or what have you. So I feel like we're back to that old square root of like, oh, we gotta be in LA or New York if you wanna do this specific thing. And I'm just like, why?
Yeah, I feel like I had to have started doing this voiceover work right at the right time because I feel like if the pandemic didn't happen or I didn't start doing this during the pandemic, I don't think I would have gotten as far as I did because the opportunities were so much for remote talent, and now it's not. It's definitely more in person now.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of a shame because I feel like there's a lot of really cool, talented people that are just not being given the opportunity to shine because everyone's like, oh, you gotta be in studio and it's gotta be in LA.
Yep.
And it's like,
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, we'll take remote, but we're still gonna prefer if you're near us. So it's frustrating. I get it, but it is still frustrating nonetheless.
But again, I feel like. And this is what bugs me is like, where again, I've said this many times before, but I think that the past 3 years showed us that the past 3 years have shown us that you don't have to be in LA or New York to do this thing. You can be literally anywhere in the world. Like new
You really
remote record
can.
I mean remote recording should be the standard. I don't know why it isn't. I don't know why so many companies just seem so hell bent on like, oh, we gotta like keep the old guard alive. And I'm like, why?
So there's a lot of factors that go into it. I want to say some of the stronger ones are, as a company, if you rented out that building, you have to use that building or else it's a waste of money. So they're trying to get people to go back in. The other thing is, consistency, tech-wise. So if every VA is on a different mic, that and a different booth setup, that is a little bit more work for them. So I can see why they want to do in person. Do I necessarily agree that that should be the only way? Absolutely not. I think they should still be open to taking both remote and localized talent because, like, you're right, there are so many people out there whose voices should be heard in these types of things, but they just don't have the same opportunities because of their location. And it's not easy to live where those hubs are, so it's hard. It's very, very hard.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people on here who just say, "Look, man, I tried doing the whole LA thing. I just couldn't do it. So I'm just like, I just moved to Arizona. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't do it." And I don't blame them. Sure, that kind of limits the amount of work you can get, but at the same time, it's like living in LA has just become a complete nightmare. And not everyone can sustain living in those types of areas. Like, not everyone can live in New York. Not everyone can live in LA. It's like, just give people the option to just like be like, "Hey, if you want to be a voice actor, you can live anywhere you want. I don't see what the big deal is." And what's frustrating is that you have people like Roger Craig Smith, who lives in Idaho now, doing most of his stuff. You have like D. Bradley Baker, who lives in Colorado now. So it's like, don't sit there and tell me like you're opposed to what do you call it, like remote recording, because you have all these big names d leaving LA to go somewhere else because they can't afford living there for whatever reason. And it's fine, it's fine. The industry's not gonna crumble. It's fine.
Yeah, I think you definitely can get away with going remote if you have made a name for yourself, if you do have like a rapport for yourself. I think it's easier for companies and directors to be like, "Oh yeah, I can take this person on. They know exactly what they're doing. They have the studio specs that I need." Worst case scenario, we send them to, like a studio in their area, but they've already shown that they can do this. I think it's 10 times harder for newer talent right now, because you just hit a wall where you just need at least one crack to slip through. But they're really, really pushing for that in-person recordings, which I have to say is also an accessibility for disabled people issue. I take a stance on that as well. Sometimes it really is easier for a disabled person to record from home rather than, especially if they're in LA with that traffic, traveling the entire way, needing accommodations for the specific studio while they're there, and then having to go back. It can be a lot on somebody. So I think they really need to, I like I said, I understand why. I think they can do slightly better. I think we should have like some type of, I don't even know the right word for it. Essentially, yes, I understand you want in person, but you still should be open. And if you're worried about a tech issue, only market this to people that can meet your studio specs. And just don't discriminate against somebody that lives too far away. If they can make your schedule, if they have the proper equipment, and they're ready, sign them. Don't prefer talent that's in person over them because you're missing out. You're missing out. But that's me. That's me.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm not being. And again, I know it's a hot button issue, and I'm not sitting here being like, "Oh, remote recording is the only way to do this." No, I'm just saying like, people should have the option. Like, why aren't you
Yeah.
giving them the option? Because like.
I will say ADR type of stuff is a lot easier in person, so I can definitely see why they really, really want you to come in for that. But it's still doable. So I just have to extend my gratitude to the studios that still do remote talent. And I really hope that studios that are really pushing for localized talent to open their doors for opportunities for other people.
I mean, Honkai has a person who's in Malaysia doing like, I mean, who's doing the English voice. So it's like, if they can do that and it sounds fine, then why aren't these other companies doing this,
Yeah. It really just depends on the studio. I would say HOYO is pretty good at just accepting everybody. Like, I don't think, like, the studios that they hire to do all the recording and everything, I don't think they like have a specific rule like, oh, you can only accept X, Y, and Z. They're like, no, all talent that qualifies, that either gets on the roster via the director or a fellow castmate or an agent. As long as they get that audition in front of them, they do it correctly, they have all the right things, they're here for it. They want a quality product, but they want a quality product that is still unique. Not everybody has to be voiced by X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I know. And it's just, again, it's one of those things where it kind of just bugs me, where it's like, I feel like it should be an option. Like, it should not be one of those things that's just completely phased out for no reason, where it's like, oh, we got to go back to the pre-COVID era. And it's like, I understand if it's like for bigger productions and you want like the entire cast in ensemble and you want them all in one studio, that's fine. I feel like those are, again, that's fine. I'm not against those. In fact, I think ensemble records are great because the actors' performances are a lot better because they're working off each other instead of just like whatever. But at the same time, is like you said, when you brought up disability, like there are a lot of disabled voice people who do VA, and it sucks that they're not being given the opportunity to work on a lot of these big projects because they're just being treated because they're just being seen as like a hassle, or it's like, ah, oh, we don't want to, we don't want to consider, we don't even want to consider you. But it's like, it's
Yeah,
just,
because you're not in the area, and you're not in the area because I can't be.
it's so stupid. It's like,
It's frustrating.
and going back to Honkai, I mean, isn't like Chia Court in like San Fran? It's like, come on, guys, like. They found a way to make it work, This game found a way to make it work. Like, a lot of these people aren't in the same area, and it sounds fine. The people playing this game aren't gonna be like, aren't gonna be like, oh, they obviously didn't record in the same room, and I can't get invested in this. No, it's like, it sounds fine. It sounds like a professional video game. Come on.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think it really falls on these the companies specifically, because I understand they want to use the office spaces that they've purchased, and just the methods of recording can be quite easier when you're actually in studio. Like, for example, where I'm constantly having to change my own gain while recording, but if I was in person, I wouldn't have to worry about anything. That's all. Oh, that's all the director and the sound engineer. That's not on me. And now that's on me. And now they also have to remind me, like, hey, the levels that it's a lot harder, but it's not impossible. So I think it just depends on the company, what they're willing to do.
Yeah, and again, I agree. Again, 100%. Like, there's no, the biggest takeaway from anyone listening to this is not, it's not like one is better than the other.
No.
I just feel like we need to have the options. And if we don't have those options, then the industry is going to keep stagnating, and I hate stagnation. Like, truly, I hate stagnation. I hate that period where, you see, because we had that period for the longest time where it was just the same five people doing everything, and people got sick of it, and was like, where are the new talents, And it didn't take until like a freaking pandemic for people to not only be open to remote recordings, but to be open to giving people of color and people who don't fit the quote unquote, who weren't the, again, it's, I don't know, man. It's just, I need to get off my soapbox.
It's a
I'm just
complex and frustrating situation with no right answer, which makes it even worse.
I know. And now you have the whole AI nonsense that's creeping
Oh my
up, and it's
God.
like, ah.
Stop using AI. Well, AI for voices specifically, and obviously like art. Basically, don't use it to cheat. Please stop.
Again, if a person passes away, recast. There's no need to do AI, and that's all I'll say on that.
A person's voice, believe it or not, belongs to them. Sorry, I know that's a shocker for some people. Just because someone said something doesn't mean you have the right to take that and do whatever you want to it.
And I said this before, previously, like, yes, you can take like you can make an AI voice of like SpongeBob and have him say all these like terrible things, and you can laugh about it, but at the end of the day, SpongeBob is voiced by an actual human being, and you're taking that person's voice and making them say things that they would never say. So, you know,
Exactly.
it's not all fun and games, and people have, voice actors especially, have the right to be like, yeah, no, I don't consent to this nonsense, because it's something that they worked on, it's their voice, and it can get them in trouble with everybody, and it's just embarrassing. It's just really frustrates me seeing like really talented people have being treated like nothing, where it's like, oh well, you know, where again, it's just this ugly sense of entitlement that I hate to no end, where it's like, oh, we own you. Like, oh, it doesn't matter if you've been nothing nice to us, we own you. And it's like, no, that doesn't work that way. It's like, yeah, sure, I'm glad you're a fan of something I worked on, but that doesn't give you the right to do whatever you want with it and say, well, we own this, you know, and you can't take it away from us. No.
Like notice how that voice was for this specific project and wasn't sent to you. Notice that part. That part.
Just it's the industry, man. It's changing, and you know, you gotta be, you know, it's you gotta be wary of it. And even looking at this from like an outsider's perspective, it's just like, it's weird and it's scary, and it's one of those things where I don't know what the industry's gonna look like in a couple of years, but with the way things are going, you know, it's not promising. Let's just say
If
that.
AI has to be used, it should be used to make everybody's lives easier, not to replace lives.
I know, but tell that to the studios, because they're not the ones listening.
Oh my God, they're not listening. But yeah, that's a whole can of worms, rotten worms,
It's like
expired.
expired
Oh, that is
worms.
a whole discussion. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but again, I again, it's, you know, it can't all be just like talking about Honkai spoilers. Come on, guys, you know, get a big takeaway from this, you know. I like to know the person behind the voice as well, so you
Yeah,
know.
it helps. It helps. Yeah, I'm a real person, I swear. Unless.
Oh God, I wonder how long before someone's like, wait a minute, they don't sound like Robin at all.
What do you mean?
And you just know someone's listening to this, and they're gonna get upset because we didn't go into too many spoiler details. And I'm just like, look, man, you know, it's Robin. Like, there's not much scenes she's in, you know, so I can't really work off that.
You want spoilers? Play the game. You'll be spoiled completely. There you go.
Kokolia dies, by the way. There's your
Yeah,
spoiler.
shocker. Spoiler.
Trailblazer gets stabbed.
Don Hung gets stabbed.
Okay, talking about memes, what are some of your favorite memes?
In like the Honkai universe?
Yeah.
Oh, there are so many good ones. A lot of them are pictures, so they're kind of hard to describe. I want to say the one that made me like wheeze the other day is when Robin came out as like five star physical harmony. Someone drew her like whacking somebody with her microphone, and it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like I even pictured like the whack noise in there. It's so good. And then on my streams, I have been talking like a Toad voice occasionally. So people have been photoshopping Robin's design on Toad, which has been amazing as well.
Oh, that pretty much ruined the character for me, because now I can o I now I now I can only think about Toad when I look at Robin.
No! Oh no!
Not even Toad, but specifically that one video of that one person did who did like a Toad cover of Peaches, and I just feel
Oh.
sorry for that person because they had to maintain that voice for that entire song, and it's like, good Lord.
Everybody is wanting me to cover If I Can Stop One Heart from Breaking as Toad. The silence is very loud.
I mean, if you want to blow out your vocal cords, go ahead.
I know, right? They're like, do it, do the roar.
I just love how the entire internet has just accepted that Toad just sounds horrible because he sounded horrible in the cartoon. So it's like, yep, that's how he
Yeah.
sounds like.
That's the man.
I think I don't know, my favorite meme, and it's again, it's just a dumb picture where I think when the second Don Hung came out and someone did like a picture of like the Don Hung and then the cooler Don Hung. He's wearing
Oh my
sunglasses and I
gosh.
don't know why that's so funny to me.
There's one. Do you know like that like smug face people can do where like they purse their lips and they're like and like their cheekbones are really protrude, like it's like the Riz face, but it's like cringy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, duck face.
Kinda, but it's like a like it's like a oh type of face. Well, one of the memes I really love is they have someone like taking a selfie with that face, but they photoshopped Trailblazer's hair on it, and it's just so funny. I can send it to you later.
No, I think it wasn't even a meme, but I think I said this on the Jordan Paul Haro podcast when I told him like the thing that made me laugh the hardest, and it wasn't even a meme, it was just a Reddit post where someone posted a picture of Dr. Ratio and El Genti, and the caption was, "Put them in the room together, who breaks first?"
Yeah, who breaks first? I will say the Honkai fans make the funniest memes. They're so funny.
And I love how MiHoYo just listened to you guys. They're like, yeah, no, Stella is our trash queen, and we love
We
her.
love her.
That's why I picked female Trailblazer, because I'm like, you know what, she's the trash queen, and I don't want to pick anyone else.
Exactly. Why would you at that point, though?
I just love how the fandom just took that one interaction. Because again, it was just like just random dialogue, and they're like, what? But what if like she was attracted to it from in a romantic way? And I just love it.
Wow.
I just love
It's
it.
great. Absolutely great.
And someone drew her as, and I saw a fan art of someone drawing Trailblazer as like a raccoon, and that made me laugh for some reason.
Yeah, I need that.
Yeah, man, the memes are so hilarious.
They really are. You guys are really good at the meme game.
And I especially love when Plantilia's boss fight came out, and someone drew fan art where it's like, big lady.
Big lady. Big lady.
Oh, again, it's. I love the memes. The memes are hilarious. They're just like the funniest things imaginable. And I was really disappointed I didn't get a chance to like commission, because I wanted to commission art of like Alacha as Hannibal Buress, where it's like as a redraw of like the Hannibal Buress bit where he's Morpheus, where he's like drinking a 40 in a death basket. I'm like, I want someone to draw fan art of that, but it's Lacha in his own coffin. I'm just like, I need that. It's
I
just, oh, I need that.
need it.
That's what annoyed me. It's like when during the Lacha segments where everyone was talking about like different names for the coffin, and I'm like, no one said death basket. And I'm like, you had one job. You had one job. But yeah, Honkai Star Rail. It's a fun game. Can you tell?
They definitely know what they're doing. They know what the fans want.
So I'm just gonna again. I hope that you don't spend too much money on trying to pull for Robin, because that's
I
gonna
haven't spent anything yet.
because the struggle will be real. Like I can't. I'm eagerly anticipating the day she comes out, because I want to watch you. I not even watch the entire stream. I want a montage. Someone please make a montage of every time Alice tries to pull for Robin in game.
Watch me get it like the first time, and I'm like, oh, okay. Welcome home.
Nothing's more annoying when you're just like, okay, skip the temple, and then you see the 5-star logo, and it's like, oh, and then it's Clara. Oh.
You get the totally. Well, that's what kind of what happened with me on Blade's banner. I was really pulling for Blade, and then I got Jappard. But then, literally right after Jappard, like click the button to go to the next reward. It was Blade. I had 2 5-stars. I was freaking out.
That has never happened to me before.
I was freaking out.
I did not know that. Real talk, I did not know that that could happen in this game. Like, real talk.
Well, maybe now that I'm talking about it, it'll happen to you. Get the Robin blessings up there.
Then, okay, before we wrap this up, are you going to be pulling for Adventurine or not? Because.
I'm saving for our Lord and Savior Acorn.
'Cause from if the banner schedule is correct, Acorn will probably be first, and he's probably going to be in the second part. So I'm kind of wondering, like,
Oh, maybe. But I don't know. I do want Camden's character, but I also really want Acorn.
To be fair, I think that's everyone's reaction to any character Allegra Clark voices. Like, I don't
Yes.
care, best character.
Yeah, sorry, Allegra. You're coming with me.
It's like that's what that was me with Street Fighter VI. It's like, oh, forget all these other characters. I want the one Allegra voices.
Yes.
Big beefy Italian chick. Yes, that is what I
Please
want.
sign me up.
Same thing with Genshin. I said this before in a previous podcast. It's like, I know Beidou isn't that good of a character, but she's voiced by Allegra, and I like Allegra. Okay.
Sometimes you just throw all logic out of the door when it comes to Allegra.
And I'm hoping that Talon Warburton's character will become playable down the line, because I'm a big Patrick Warburton fan, and if this is the closest we're gonna get to a Warburton in this game, I will pull for you, sir. Also, kind of ashamed that they killed off my boy Duke Inferno. They did him dirty.
A little bit.
Justice for Duke Inferno. There you go.
Oh,
Anyway, before I wrap this up, is there anything you want to plug? Like, where can people find you online, and what are you currently working on?
literally, you can find me at Alice Himura anywhere except for Twitch. There's 2 A's in Himura, still trying to get that changed. If you look that up, you'll literally find everything. Yesterday I dropped a Robin print, so they're in limited stock. I think I only have like 60 left, so if you're into it, go ahead and get one. If not, all good. That's all I have to plug.
I hope you're planning on doing more Robin prints, because I would like to get some. Hope and hopefully
Oh,
we
100%. The
hopefully.
specific art I got this time, I think I only ordered like 75 in total. 25 of that is only holographic. So they're in limited stock, but there's more prints I have planned. So stay tuned.
And hopefully, now that you're in Honkai, maybe we'll see more convention appearances, hopefully. That'd be cool.
Maybe. I've never been to a con. It would be fun.
Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time up to do this. This has been a lovely conversation, and I hope we can get the chance to do it again sometime, because this has been a lot of fun.
Yes, Dave.
We're friends now. You can't deny it. We're
We're
friends
friends. Sorry, we
now.
had this long conversation and we ranted friends.
You're stuck with me.
All
All right, take care. Bye bye.
right, bye.